My little brother's friends have been camped out at our place for 2 days straight.
Three.
It's because of the Xfinity 10G network. Internet that can handle a house full of screens at once with, like, basically no interruptions. And it's only getting faster. When I was their age, internet like this was a pipe dream.
You sound like my grandpa.
Please go home.
Introducing the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
Welcome to Nobody Told Me. I'm Laura Owens.
And I'm Jan Black.
And joining us on this episode is Shannon Kaiser, who's the best-selling author of 5 books on the psychology of happiness and fulfillment.
Shannon has been called one of the freshest voices in mental health and wellness. Her latest book is called Joy Seeker. Let go of what's holding you back so you can live the life you were made for. Shannon, we thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Tell us about your background and how your latest book, Joy Seeker, came about.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have been doing this work. This is my 10-year anniversary of being a writer and a teacher and sharing and coaching. So it's been a decade. And I wasn't always doing this work. I used to be in advertising. I was climbing the corporate ladder. And I got very depressed. I was addicted to drugs, silently suffering from eating disorders. And it was just a very toxic time in my life. And when the doctor diagnosed me with depression, I was sitting in the doctor's office reading a magazine, waiting for her to write up the prescription. And I read an article about how dogs can help with depression. And my inner voice said, this is the route for you, adopt a dog. And so instead of going the medication route, and I know that that serves people at certain times, but for me, I realized that there might be another way. And a lot of my depression was tied to me not being true to myself. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was doing what I wanted, going through the motions of what society, culture, family wanted for me. But I never really stopped to ask myself, is this what I want? And so I realized I do want a dog, and I adopted a rescue dog, and he transformed my life with him by my side. It's almost like we rescued each other because his name was Tucker, and all of a sudden I found this joy, this happiness. I left advertising, left depression, left my eating disorders, and found true self-love and started the career. And then about 3 years ago, he passed away. And that's really when I went inside myself and said, I have to learn how to rely on myself for joy, because up until this point in my life, of course I was grieving, but up until this point I was still relying on happiness outside of me. And so that's what led to this next level of the work, which is Joy Seeker. Learning how to be true to ourselves in an authentic place is what it's really about.
What does Joy Seeker do that a lot of self-help books do not do?
Joy Seeker is about going inward. And a lot of the books that are out are about kind of this outward go get, go manifest, go achieve. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is about do, do, do. And I feel like I got stuck in that race of feeling like I was always trying to chase this elusive there. And it was in these peak moments, the next book deal, the next boyfriend, the next goal weight I hit, getting out of debt. It was always this thing outside of myself. And I always felt like something was off. And so Joy Seeker is really about discovering you matter, who you are in this world, and stepping into that life unapologetically.
And the subtitle of your book is Let Go of What's Holding You Back So You Can Live the Life You Were Made For. In your experience, what kinds of things do people need to let go of?
Oh, it's so interesting because a lot of it is all beliefs and also the habits, this idea. One of the biggest barriers that I talk about in the book and also I see with my coaching clients is this fear of what other people think of us. So number one thing that stops us from going after our dreams, from kind of being true to ourselves because we're terrified that we won't fit in or we feel like maybe someone will judge us or what will people say. But really what happens is when you step into a life of authenticity and you start to be more true to yourself, as I say in the book, your true tribe can't show up until you do. And so many of us are feeling like something's off. That something that's off is that real connection to our true self. And the more real you are with yourself, who am I, what do I want out of my life, and is the things that I'm living, are they aligning with that? As we step forward into that, the real people who can resonate with you will find you, and you find that you're more surrounded by love, you have more friends and family and people who love you for you instead of trying to fit into a false version.
Well, why is it that we're always trying to change ourselves and better ourselves, and we just don't accept ourselves the way we are when the vast majority of us we'll bend over backwards to try to accept other people.
That's exactly it. We do. We end up bending over backwards and sacrificing ourselves. And a lot of it is because we aren't accepting ourselves. And so the whole book I wrote before Joy Seeker is called The Self-Love Experiment. And it really is the foundation for everything, self-love. When you love yourself and appreciate yourself, you're no longer needing that outside approval. And self-love is not selfish. I think a lot of us feel like it is selfish, or we feel like somehow there's not enough love to go around. But really, it's the foundation for everything. And when we choose to love ourselves, we not only uplift ourselves, but those around us. And so for most of us, we're terrified of showing the real us because we haven't really given ourselves permission to even look at ourselves. I mean, how many women do you know who don't look in the mirror? Or if you give them a compliment, I used to deflect like, oh no, that, you know, you turn it around really quick. Or we bend over backwards to show up to people. We're really tired and we're exhausted, but a friend asks for help and we say, yes, I'll come help you right away. But we're at our end's wits because we don't have enough energy. So it really is about reversing that one step at a time and saying, no, wait a second, I do matter. And I'm going to choose to show up for myself. Because when I do that, everything is more fulfilling and you're there more present. You're able to be there for everyone else in a more fulfilling way as well.
I found it fascinating that you contend most of us are struggling, but struggle is comfortable for many of us because we figure that's the way it's supposed to be, that our parents struggled, so we struggle, and yet struggle keeps us stuck. So how do we break free of the struggle?
So struggling is a form of resistance and it's a fear. And I realized for many years I was living in the struggle because we actually think, as you said right there, we feel like life is supposed to be hard. The people we know before us struggled. You look out, the people, we wear worry like a badge, or we wear overworking, like I'm busy. And what happens when we're identifying with the struggle is we're actually not giving ourselves permission to really say, well, what is it I really want out of my life? And overworking is really this epidemic where we work really hard and we're exhausted. And because we're exhausted, we don't have any extra time to do things we really love. And so I actually invite anyone listening to really ask yourself, well, when do I feel like my best self? When do I feel alive? What does bring me joy? Because that's really what Joy Seeker is about. It's about bringing more joy into your life in each moment. Instead of chasing it, we actually allow it.
And I love how you say we need to plan less so that we can live more. But for a person like me who's such a planner, just the thought of that kind of gives me anxiety.
Yeah. And so I think it used to, me too. And that's one of the reasons I wrote about that in the book, is because we plan so much because we're trying to control. And this is another form of, whether it comes out in perfectionism or it comes out as wanting to make sure we cross all the T's and dot all the I's, planning becomes this way that we feel in control. But if we really get honest, how often do the plans really follow through? Anyways, a lot of times, of course, taking the kids around and, you know, having your morning routine, that's all planned. But it's when you let go of that every single moment is defined, that real opportunities can come in, real exciting things for you to experience life, you know, whether it's spending more time with your family, doing something that wasn't planned. And it's about being in the moment. So we can give ourselves kind of this idea of the moment is really what matters most. And so when we stop planning, because a lot of times when we're planning, at least for me, I would just go straight on to the next thing. I'd be like, okay, this is done. Check, check, check. I'd have a to-do list for everything, even like walking the dog was on the list. And so you get to this place where you're just like obsessively trying to keep up with this list, but the list is always going to keep going. And so it's about giving yourself more time to just be, because that's when life can really happen. And extraordinary opportunities can happen as well.
What is your definition of joy, and has it changed over the years?
It has, actually, because I used to think joy was like happiness. And, you know, my very first book is called Find Your Happy. And happiness, what I've realized is it's something that can come and go. It's something that's also an experience of feeling. But joy is a way of life. Joy is actually something that we allow. And joy is who we really are. We're here to experience joy. And what I learned, especially in writing Joy Seeker, I started out on this Joy Seeker journey with this huge, heavy heart because I was grieving the loss of my dog. And I was like, I don't know if I can ever find joy again. And what I realized is that you can still find joy even in the moments of despair, even in the moments of grief, even in the moments of I feel stuck, I feel off track, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing with my life. joy is available to you. And that's what Joy Seeker, that's what this book takes people on a journey for.
What suggestions would you have for somebody who's going through something like a death or a breakup?
I think the first thing is to recognize we are on our own journey, because there's going to be people who tell you, oh, get over it, or keep, you know, there's always going to be advice from people outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And really, really, one of the things that we have to do is honor where we are and know that it is possible to move through it. And some days are, of course, harder than others. But one thing, and there's a lot of tools that I use and a lot of practices, and one of them is the worry to wonder tool. And so if you're worrying a lot, worrying, and this is if you're grieving, I worry, I wonder if I'm ever going to feel better, I wonder if I'm ever going to get over this, or worrying about debt, or worrying about how your kids are growing up, like we worry. And this worry is actually one of the ways that our ego is trying to protect us. It's another form of controlling your life, because you try to predict the worst thing that's happening. If you worry about it, then you're not blindsided. So your ego's mm-hmm. like, I'm doing a good job. The fear is saying, okay. But we turn it to wonder. So I worry, as let's say a big worry is, I'm so worried that I can't even function right now because we live in this chaotic world and the news is scaring me. And you turn that into a wonder statement. I wonder how good it's going to feel to help out my community, to do something this week. What can I do? And you turn it to, I wonder how good it's going to feel. I wonder what I can do. I wonder how much money I can save this week, you know, whatever it is you're working with. So you turn your worry to wonder. That's a good tool.
What are some of the journaling exercises you suggest in Joy Seeker?
Yeah, so there's one of my favorite things that helped me actually overcome my depression was journaling. And one of the ways that journaling helps us is it connects to ourselves, and I actually automatic write, or you can call it guided writing. And there's a lot of journal prompts throughout the book at the end of each chapter where you ask yourself a key question. And I've actually made it my daily practice, and I have a lot of life coaching clients who do this as well, where every day just set aside about 5 to 10 minutes and you ask yourself a question. And maybe it's something that's on your heart. Maybe it's a question of how can I make a bigger difference in the world today? Or how can I help this person, my friend, who's going through a hard time? And you just let yourself write. You let yourself write. And some of the questions that I asked myself in my journey when I was grieving the loss of Tucker, my beautiful golden retriever, was, what have you always wanted to do but haven't given yourself permission to do? Such a powerful question, and the key word is permission. And I asked myself, well, what I've always wanted to do is travel more. And why am I not doing that? And then we have these excuses and these reasons. And so what it really becomes about is you getting in touch with your true self and then giving yourself permission to be who you are. And that's where it's about living the life you're truly made for, unapologetically.
Why do so many people feel like they're so undeserving of happiness and they're just preventing it themselves?
Oh, so many of us, it's because conditioning. Just yeah. Same thing, we feel stuck because of our family. We see our parents struggled. We see it in the world. And also, so many of us are afraid to step out because, again, it goes back to what will people think. If I actually go for what I want and I choose happy, what will people think? And a lot of us have a fear that's ingrained deep within us that we don't even realize is that it's not good to be happy, even though there's so much out there pumping you up saying, be happy, you know, really. There's always this kind of underlining as part of culture, society, our family. We live in a world that has a lot of turbulence, right? Wars, and our parents suffered. They went through the Great Depression, all kinds of stuff. And so how dare us go out and be happy and choose a life that feels good? But really, I say, how dare we not? We are here to do that. And the more people that choose happiness and joy, the more we see that it's actually safe to be happy, and the more we uplift each other, and really the more we help the world.
If someone is listening to this and really at the bottom of their rope right now, and they just are really having a rough time of it, what is the first thing you would recommend they do in terms of seeking joy?
I think the very first thing is to recognize that where we are exactly right now is beautiful. And I don't mean beautiful as in like lovely rainbows and unicorns. What I mean is my darkest moments, my depression, the moments where I felt suicidal, they became the greatest opportunity for me to really understand who I am and what I want. And so if you're going through this moment of feeling or this time period or this decade, however long it's lasting for you, recognize that it's an opportunity for you to actually become your own friend. And a lot of my depression was tied to me looking outside of myself, comparing myself to other people trying so hard to people please, make sure I'm a good girl. And when we stop looking outside of ourselves and instead go inward, we can take those steps. And there's a lot of journal questions that you can ask yourself. So even I'd say it's first thing, just start journaling for yourself. I have lots of journals that helped me through depression. I look back at them, and it was one of the first things I did. I started writing. And of course, it led to a career in writing.
Shannon, I love your thoughts on forgiveness. And I especially loved the blog post you had at the end of last year about the importance of it. And I actually saved those and emailed them to myself because I thought they were so great. Talk to us a little bit about the importance of forgiving others and explain a little bit about whether forgiving someone means that we're excusing their behavior from the past or whether it just means we're trying to move on for our own benefit.
Yeah, and I think you said it best there, because forgiveness is this word that it's like kind of makes us cringe up a little bit, like, I can't forgive what they did, or I can't forgive myself. I find so many of us have a hard time forgiving ourselves because mm-hmm. we're walking around carrying shame. And a lot of times, forgiveness, actually all the time, it's really about not letting anyone off the hook. It's just saying, okay, I'm moving on. I'm giving myself this time to say I let go of the hold that this has on me. So a lot of it's about energy. Everything's energy. And so forgiveness is really a form of anger. And when we're holding on to anger, we cannot move forward. We can't invite in positivity things. We can't really allow ourselves to be fulfilled or access joy. So when we go to a place of forgiveness, it's not saying what you did is okay. It's just saying I care about myself enough and I love myself so much that I choose to let go of the hold that this has on me so I can move forward. And sometimes if it's with another person, you don't have to let that person back in your life. What I find most often is the person we need to forgive the most is ourself. And sometimes we misdirect it. We're thinking we're angry at that person who harmed us, but really there's some place of us that knows within that maybe we were the ones who stayed in the relationship too long, or we were the ones who didn't listen to our true voice. Like, so we're really holding on to anger for ourselves. And forgive yourself.
One of the sections of your book is called Go on a Future Field Trip, Embrace Your Ideal Life. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite tools, actually. And if you go to playwiththeworld.com, you can get a free meditation. This is a guided meditation. Future field tripping is so amazing because it helps you identify what you truly want for your life. So I have this philosophy, and it's actually kind of a law of the universe, really, that what is has no bearing on what will be. So you could be in mounds and mounds of debt, or you could be in a relationship or a job that's sucking the soul life out of you, and you're feeling stuck. But that is today, and that is a condition from all of yesterday's leading up to today. Tomorrow is a whole new day. And so the future field trip gives you an opportunity to go into what you truly want. And it's a kind of tied to the law of attraction, which is like attracts like. So if you're focusing on what you want, it's amazing how we get what we focus on. And so if you focus on a good relationship, one that feels good, or you focus on being debt-free, or you focus on discovering your life purpose, things really happen. And so the guided meditation takes you through that process. And in fact, when I very first left advertising, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I loved to write and I knew I loved to travel. So the first part of my career was actually travel writing. But before I became a travel writer, about 4 months after I left advertising, I practiced this. And I would sit in my parents' basement, literally I was on unemployment, and I would just picture myself writing in journals, writing for magazines, traveling the world. And literally less than 3 months later, I got called to my first travel writing assignment for a magazine. And I remember going, it was in St. Lucia, going to the back of the property and sitting down on the beach with my journal. And I said, oh my gosh, this is the exact same vision I had in my mind. I saw the little fisherman out on the right side, the mountains, the Caribbean Sea. I felt the warm sand. And it was the same thing I had visualized. And I hadn't seen a Google image or anything. So the whole thing about this is we get an opportunity to create a reality by focusing on what we want. And you can transform your life.
What advice would you have for people who have lost faith in humanity? How can they possibly get that back?
I think so many of us are feeling this way right now, especially with all the shifts happening. And a lot of us are looking outside of ourselves at the news and the crazy cycles that are going on. And that just keeps us falling into deeper, deeper, deeper fear. So one thing that I suggest, and one way that we can actually get back into the idea of connecting, it is to connect with others by focusing on the love that you do have within you. And so it could be as simple as starting within your own day in your own community. How can you make a difference for where you are? I lost my faith in humanity before I wrote Joe Sicker as well. And I felt like, what's the point? Everything is going crazy here on Earth. I don't feel connected to my purpose. And then I went on a joy-seeking journey, and I found the true meaning of life and the true joy, and it's the moment by moment. So if you're standing in line at a coffee shop, can you talk to the person waiting behind you? You know, can you smile at strangers? Can you let people in instead of having road rage? It's really about the things that you can do one moment at a time to make a difference. And as you start to do that, you start to regain your faith in yourself. You build up trust, and then you realize, wow, humanity really, really all we want is to be accepted and loved and acknowledged. But so many of us are fighting against each other and picking sides that's keeping us from doing that. So you do your part by just showing up with more love in each moment.
What kind of an impact do you think staying on social media is having on our ability to feel joy?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I think it goes both ways. I talk about that in the book Joy Seeker, too. We can use social media. Again, we get what we focus on. And there's been times where social media has triggered me. I've been comparing myself to others, and I think that happens. And we have to remember it's a highlight reel. And it is only one aspect of a whole entire life. And so whatever you see, take it with a grain of salt. But I say very much align with social media accounts that make you feel good, they teach you something, or they align with, you know, something that really resonates with you. If it doesn't make you feel good, or something about it feels inauthentic, or you feel like you're being sold to all the time, I say, you know, unsubscribe, get off there. One thing I just saw about just recently, Instagram is going to implement a filter or some kind of icon if an image looks like it's been Photoshopped, like thinking of Kardashians or someone really famous, right?
Wow.
Airbrushed like faces and stuff, if they know there's going to be a filter now that they're going to implement that's going to show all image has been altered to start showing more transparency. And, you know, I just learned about that yesterday. So I think there's movement going towards it being really about us using discernment, but also trusting, you know, with what we see is not always what you get.
In the book, you talk about playing more, and I always get a little bit uncomfortable about the term playing as adults because I feel like, no, I need to be serious, I need to be working, and I need to be an adult. But talk to us a little bit about what you mean by that and how that could really transform our lives.
Yes. In fact, my website's called Play with the World, not to just play and be frivolous and like a kid, but the power of play is about, again, being in the moment. And so there's different activities. And I know Brene Brown talks about kind of the aspect of play because so often we work, work, work. Mm-hmm. But when you turn that on its head, and actually I have a joy jaunt in the book where I say, what is a non-work related item or activity that you really love? And it could be walking in nature. It could be hanging out with your children. It could be whatever it is. And then you actually schedule that into your day, and you make time to do that. And then you realize that that's play. I don't necessarily mean go hopscotching or, you know, skipping down the street, although you certainly can. But play is about being present in the moment and joy. So if we look at it that way, and we just add more dates with ourselves, joy moments, if you will, then we're giving ourselves this kind of moment to not be stressed, not be worried. Just think about it. Kids aren't worried when they're playing. Mm-hmm. And it also gives you kind of a moment to get in touch with your inner child, the you that does want to be more free.
What gives you the most joy?
Oh, so much, so much. I love talking to you guys. This is so much fun.
I agree.
I love writing. I love, in fact, this is an activity in the book, is to kind of create a joy list. And you create all the things that bring you joy. I have a rescue dog from China. And I really love playing with him, going on dog walks, going to dog parks. I love nature walks. I love my spin bike workouts. So just about everything that I do now, I really focus on loving it, even paying the bills. I've taught myself how to love that because it's all part, even in the book, I talk about how money really stresses us out. And if we can turn our attention to be thankful, you know, when you're going to go buy something and say, I'm so thankful that I have the money to do this. I'm so glad I invested in this. So each moment becomes a lovely joy moment for me. And I think we can all do that in our life. We just train ourselves to focus on the good.
Who do you look to for inspiration as somebody who really encompasses all that you have learned?
Oh, that's such a great question. You know, I have a mentor, and her name is Summer Bacon, and not many people have heard of her, and it's amazing because she's just living her beautiful life in Sedona, you know, a wonderful little small community. But the reason she represents, and that's one of the person I dedicated my book to her, if you see in the front, she's a friend and a mentor, but she's so connected to her true self, and she's a mystic and a teacher and a light worker. She doesn't care what people think of her. What matters most to her is her connection to her and her higher power, and she's just living her life in integrity. And to me, that really represents what we all want, because we can look outside of ourselves and we can see these people who are like wildly famous, and we can get caught up in that. Like, or we see the neighbors who seem to have it all and they never have kids that are unhappy, and we get caught up in that. But when we get back to ourselves and aligning with our higher power, that's really what it's about. We're all here to experience joy. We're all here on our own journey, and it's a journey back to love, really.
Shannon, our show is called Nobody Told Me, and we always ask our guests, what is your nobody told me lesson? So what is it that nobody has told you about life or joy or whatever it might be that you had to learn the hard way?
Oh, wow, this is really beautiful. And it's great that you're asking this, because I think if you ask any other time, like before I wrote this book, it would be totally different. But after writing Joy Seeker, rereading it, going through it, nobody told me that life is actually supposed to be easy.
Wow.
And I say that because
I love that
place where I feel joy, and I'm effortlessly moving through my day instead of stressing, instead of trying so hard to make things happen, instead of, like, you know, really worrying a lot. I've shifted into a place, and of course there's times where it comes back in, but over the past couple of weeks, especially starting the new year, I've been in such a place of connecting with joy first. And when we do that, it's like opportunities come, and life is supposed to be joyful and easy. So that's what no one ever told me, and I wish I knew many years ago, but that's what I'm teaching now.
Oh man, I wish I knew that years ago, but at least I can start living like that
today. Yeah.
And how can people connect with you on social media and the internet and learn more about the book?
Yeah, so Joy Seeker and all my books are available at any bookstore or, of course, online retailer like Amazon. My website is playwiththeworld.com, and I am on social media posting positive messages and uplifting little lessons. Shannon Kaiser, K-A-I-S-E-R, writes, which is my author page, like W-R-I-T-E-S.
Perfect. All right, well, thank you so much, Shannon, for joining us. This has been a joy.
It has been great being here with you. Thank you.
Our thanks to Shannon Kaiser, who, again, her latest book is called Joy Seeker, Let Go of What's Holding You Back So You Can Live the Life You Were Made For. And again, her website is called playwiththeworld.com. I'm Jan Black.
And I'm Laura Owens.
You're listening to Nobody Told Me. Thank you so much for joining us.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. P-A-I-R.com.